The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I identify myself as a Bible-believing, unashamed follower of Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible, I follow Jesus, and I'm not ashamed to say so. The answer is not in the next election. The answer is not in Washington, D.C. The answer to America's problems is in the pulpit and the pews of America's churches. That's what we do here daily on Bob Burney Live. We listen, we think, and then we look at the Word of God, evaluate it, and develop our worldview from God's point of view.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and may not be the views or opinions of the staff, management, or advertisers of WRFD.
Isn't it strange how that you take two pieces of material? You can take wood, you can take plastic, you can take anything, and you can put them in any configuration until you put them perpendicular to each other and make a cross. The Word of God. Read it. Obey it. That is the answer to America's problems.
Call 1-877-BOB-LIVE. Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live. Thank you for joining me on this Monday edition. Hope you had not a good way to begin the program. Coughing into the microphone. I apologize. Hope you had a good weekend. Joy and I did. Got a lot of things done around the house, which is good because I leave tomorrow for Indonesia. I'll be gone just a little over a week. I leave tomorrow, and I'll be back on the air the following Friday. So I would appreciate your prayers for me and for Joy. A lot of things to get done, obviously, before I leave. So we had a very profitable weekend, great service in church yesterday. Enjoyed the Super Bowl last night. It wasn't a blowout. Good game. It was a really, really good game. What about the halftime? We'll talk about that later. I didn't see it intentionally. I didn't want to. Had no desire to. And just skipped it. Didn't see any of it. And I'll have some comments later. But the comments that really get me on Facebook are, I could hardly watch it. It was terrible to watch it. It was painful to watch it. It was embarrassing to watch it. Well, then why did you watch it? Anyway, I'll have some comments. So anyway, there is breaking news, and I'm struggling to try to how to describe it, the entertainment world, the broadcast world, the news world. Rush Limbaugh made a shocking announcement on his radio program today. So this is breaking news, and he has advanced lung cancer. He began feeling some symptoms back on January 12th, shortness of breath. Didn't think there was anything to it. Finally got checked out, and two medical professionals have both confirmed that he has advanced lung cancer. He did not share with his listeners what the prognosis is, and of course this is early diagnosis, so it's very difficult this early. He will go off the air for a time to undergo treatment. Obviously, with advanced lung cancer, you need to get treatment as quick as possible. So he'll be going off the air, I think, immediately, and hopes to be back on the air again. And obviously, we at this point, we just don't know. Joy and I have known people with lung cancer who have received treatment. Difficult, hard, but they recovered. We have a dear friend many years ago, and I think the treatments are more effective now, but we had a dear friend went into the hospital for an unrelated problem, had nothing to do with lungs, breathing, nothing. And while she was in the hospital down at Riverside, she was about to be released. And the doctor came in to release her, and she said, "You know, Doc, I've got this pain in my back. Could you check that out?" 4 weeks to the day, she had passed away. So it's just very, very difficult to determine at this point. But Rush Limbaugh has announced to his audience today that he has advanced lung cancer. So pray for him. Pray for the doctors. He's absolutely revolutionized talk radio, whether you like him or not. And I think most of this audience would like him, but he has revolutionized talk shows, radio, has been for many years the number one talk show host in all of America. And that's been for a long, long, long time. So I hope you'll pray for him. And the doctors, his family, his brother. I just have enormous respect for his brother. I have respect for Rush, too. But his brother is a dynamic Christian who has written some phenomenal books. Had him on my program for interviews on several occasions. Really humble guy and just brilliant. So anyway, that is breaking news today. Rush Limbaugh has announced that he has advanced lung cancer. And what a reminder, folks. We have no assurance of tomorrow. We just don't. I don't want to overemphasize that, but I don't want to underemphasize it either. Life is uncertain. So you've heard me say it many times, and I got it from my father-in-law, who used to say it all the time. Live every day as if it were your last, because one day it will be. All right, quick note from the folks at CCV, Citizens for Community Values. And by the way, Aaron Baer, the president of Citizens for Community Values, will be your guest host tomorrow. He will be sitting in for me tomorrow and kicking off a whole line of really fine guest hosts while I am in Indonesia. And by the way, I will be in Indonesia for the Bible League, with the Bible League. And we're going to be distributing Bibles. I have the privilege of preaching at least twice, once in a remote church that's just in a shack, very, very primitive. Then I will be preaching in a much more traditional church as far as the building and so forth, pretty good-sized church, made up predominantly of Muslim converts. So I'm looking forward to that. So anyway, CCV has filed a lawsuit in conjunction with several parents and some Christian schools to try to block legislation just passed by the Ohio legislature about education choice. The bill is SB 120, which was passed by the General Assembly. And from what I understand, it will have a devastating effect on families that want to choose education other than public education. The school lobby, I'm talking about the secular public school lobby, is incredibly strong and powerful and influential. The teachers' union, largest union in America, they hate school choice. Even though almost an enormously high percentage of the kids who go to a private school rather than a public school do much better academically and in almost every other way. But the secular public school teachers union could care less, because the school choice means less money for public schools. Anyway, CCV has filed a lawsuit with the Ohio Supreme Court, and I am certain he will bring you, Aaron Baer will bring you up to date on that. All right, I need to take a break. When we come back, this didn't take long. If you were listening last week, the beginning of last week, we were all a little shocked by a statement issued by the Church of England on marriage. Yeah. Well, like I said, it didn't take long. I'll give you the story when we come back.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
Okay, like I said, it didn't take long. The Church of England, known for being far, far, far left and liberal, kind of shocked the world at the beginning of last week when they issued a decree that stated... I want to get the wording right here. I've got it. It said, sex outside of a heterosexual married relationship falls short of God's purpose for human beings. Okay. So the statement said that heterosexual married couples should be the only ones engaging in sex, and anything else, having sex in a gay or even a straight civil partnership without marriage, again, quoting, falls short of God's purpose for human beings. Now, it was all over the internet last week, but if you were listening to this program, I tried to put it into context, if you will remember. It was all over the internet. Church of England takes biblical stand. Congratulations to the Anglican Church. It was all over Facebook. I had pastor friends posting, isn't this wonderful? The Church of England has taken a stand for biblical marriage. But if you were listening, I read to you the whole statement. And it said, however, if you have sex outside of marriage, it's okay. And by the way, we are still supportive of civil unions. We just don't think you should have sex. It was a very, very weak statement with a lot of loopholes, okay? It was not a real biblical statement. I mean, it really wasn't. And at the time, if you were listening, I said, let's not get too excited about this. It's not as strong a statement for biblical marriage as it's being made out to be. Well, be that as it may, it didn't take long. Headline, Church of England apologizes for saying only married straight people should have sex. Yeah, 1 week. Here's the story. Archbishop of Canterbury Justin Welby and Archbishop of York John Setemu have apologized for a decree issued by the Church of England which said that only heterosexual married couples should have sex, and that sex in gay or straight civil partnerships falls short of God's purpose for human beings. Quote, we as archbishops, along with the bishops of the Church of England, apologize and take responsibility for releasing a statement last week which we acknowledge has jeopardized trust. Get this. Now, the statement was not a powerful biblical statement, okay? It wasn't. But it was the closest thing we have heard from the Church of England in probably more than 50 years. It was the most conservative thing we have heard out of the Church of England for probably 50 years. And now they're apologizing because, get this, taking a biblical stand, quote, has jeopardized trust. We are very sorry and recognize the division and hurt this has caused. A hurt and division because you came close to being obedient to Scripture? The House of Bishops of the Church of England last week issued a pastoral guidance, which said, for Christians, marriage, that is the lifelong union between a man and a woman contracted with the making of vows, remains the proper context for sexual activity. I would agree with that. Well, the gay mafia got to them. Folks, don't ever underestimate the power of the homosexual community, whether it is in Great Britain or it is here. Here's the story again. After the guidance, some important Anglican figures wrote an open letter to the archbishops warning that the denomination had become a laughingstock to a nation that believes it is obsessed with sex. Intentional pause. They came close to taking a biblical stand, and a whole bunch of Anglican figures said, "You've made us the laughingstock of the country." Because you took a biblical stance? And then get this, quote, more importantly, this statement, what statement? The statement affirming heterosexual one man, one woman committed relationship. More importantly, this statement has significantly damaged the mission of the church, and it has broken the trust of those it seeks to serve. It seems our trust has been misplaced, and we feel badly let down, the letter went on to say. And the Archbishop of Canterbury caved. And they have now think, get this, they have now apologized for believing God. Yeah, and that's it. They have now apologized for obeying the Bible. What does Scripture say about pleasing men rather than God? You talk about an illustration. My goodness. Church of England apologizes for actually advocating something biblical. And I am positive they're assuring us, don't ever expect us to obey the Bible again. We got in too much trouble last time. No. We will never obey the Bible again. We learned our lesson. What a sad, sad day for the Anglican Church, the Church of England. Although, I could have told you that was going to happen. We'll be back.